Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Edward Bulwer Lytton Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Good old Eddie. Edward Bulwer Lytton wrote the famous line, "It was a dark and stormy night," which is said to be the worst opening line of a novel ever.
Well, you know, I don't think it's that bad, actually. I mean, after all, you know, it's concise.
Yeah.
Right? And descriptive.
Yeah.
Sets the tone for what's to come.
Yeah.
I don't see why poor Eddie should be saddled with such infamy. It was a dark and stormy night. What's wrong with that?
Well, I agree with you, but I only mention it because there's a contest to one-up Bulwer Lytton and come up with an even worse opening line to a novel.
How about this?
Yeah.
It was a dark night.
Yeah, I like that. Well, we have some of this year's contest winners.
Yes, we do.
I'll read the first one. This is from Glenn Robbins from Brighton, East Sussex in the UK. Here's his opening line. "No man is an island, so they say. Although the small crustaceans and the bird which sat impassively on Dirk Manhope's chest as he floated lazily in the pool would probably disagree."
Well, no man is an island except Dirk Manhope. Oh, here's another one.
Yeah.
"As she slowly drove up the long, winding driveway, Lady Alicia peeked out the window of her shiny blue Mercedes and spied Rodrigo, the new gardener, standing on a grassy mound with his long black hair flowing in the wind, his brown eyes piercing into her very soul, and his white shirt open to the waist, revealing his beautifully rippling, muscular chest. And she thought to herself, 'I must tell that lazy idiot to trim the hedges by the gate.'" That's from Catherine Minicozzi of the Bronx.
All right, we'll read one more. This is by Nikia Daniel from Marietta, Georgia. "As Laurel made her way through the plaza, she couldn't help but notice the gorgeous co-anchor for the morning news show, out yet again signing autographs, smiling broadly, and infusing everyone around her with happiness. And she wondered, just for a second, mind you, how good it would feel to punch her right in her stupid little face." That's not nice.
But it's a heck of an opening line. I'd read that novel, you know.
So would I. Well, congratulations to the winners, the rest of which are on our website.
Now, on to less important matters.
Yeah.
If your car's giving you a bad opening line, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Champagne, and I'm calling from Miami.
Champagne.
That's an interesting... I don't think I've ever met anyone with that name before.
It gets people's attention.
It does. Have you ever met anyone else with the same name?
I have actually met two other people with the same name.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, and they were both apparently born on New Year's Eve.
That would explain
no
it.
No kidding.
Well,
were you?
No, middle of July.
My
dad just thought it was really pretty.
Yeah, well, you could have been named Fireworks, I guess, so you should be thankful. Anyway, Champagne, what's going on?
I have a 2003 Toyota Corolla with about 99,000 miles on it. I've had it about 3 years. I recently got an oil change maybe 3 weeks ago, and I noticed right after the oil change that there was this weird kind of cross between a rumble and a growl kind of noise when I was in reverse and had the air conditioning on. I'm in Miami, so the air conditioning is almost always on.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed over the past couple weeks, it now makes the noise if I'm idling, like I'm stopped at a red light or something. And it's still louder if the AC is on, but I can hear it very quietly if the AC is off.
Right.
It's a cross between like a rumble and a growl and like thunder.
Mm. Did you go to one of those quickie oil change places?
I did.
Uh-huh.
Do you suspect that they sabotaged or did something inappropriate to your car?
I don't know if it's that or if it was, you know, making the noise before and I couldn't hear it because something else was making a noise. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I got to say, I'm a little disappointed. With a name like Champagne, you shouldn't be driving a Corolla. No.
Yeah.
No.
How are you going to get away with that?
You got to upgrade. You got to get out of this car.
I would love to upgrade.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to think of an appropriate car for you. But in the meantime, we'll try to address your problem. And what's happening is you have a piece that's vibrating. And you probably, if you've listened to the show before, heard us mention these things called heat shields. And the
mm-hmm.
heat shields are pieces of metal that are riveted and around the exhaust system to shield the rest of the car from the intense heat that's being created in the exhaust system, the catalytic converter and the pipes that connect to it.
Yeah.
What's happening is when you put the thing in drive, the engine is running at such a speed that it's causing these things to shake.
Right.
Okay, this loose heat shield. And when you put the air conditioner on, it's slowing the engine down just enough more so that the shaking, believe it or not, gets worse. I bet if you, it is an automatic transmission car, must
yes.
be. If you step on the brake and hold the brake with your left foot and gently, with the air conditioner on, give it a little bit of gas, okay, not enough so that the car really wants to move, but enough to get the RPM up a little bit, you'll notice the noise goes away.
You know, and I have noticed that if I go fast enough, the noise goes away.
Yeah. So you need to go back to these guys and blame it on them, even though they had nothing to do with it. Well, that's what our customers do. We have customers that call us like a year later and say, look, I was in for a tune-up in 1989.
And I got
a flat tire last week, and I know you guys had something to do with it. You know, so you need to go someplace. You could go back to these guys, but if it's just an oil change place, they may not be equipped to deal with it. Go to your regular mechanic if you have one, and tell him what you think it is. It's a heat shield rattle, and he'll put it up on the lift, and he'll be able to duplicate it because it does it without moving the car, which is great. You know, most of the noises that confound us are the ones that only occur when the car is in motion.
Yeah.
And our insurer won't let us strap guys to the hood anymore. So
we used to try that.
Yeah, we used to do Tommy. That explains all the lumps in his head. But they'll find it in 2 minutes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and then, geez, I see you driving some kind of a convertible. And I don't.
Yeah, you know, I've been seeing it too.
Yeah.
Well, it is Miami.
It happens to be
black.
I'm seeing you driving a Miata convertible.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
You know, and I will tell my boss that you saw that and see if she gives me a raise.
Oh, there you go.
Okey-dokey.
All right. Maybe you can get a company car. Good luck, Champagne.
Thank you.
See you later. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Molly calling from Owensboro, Kentucky.
Hi, Molly from Owensboro. What's up?
Well, I have an 18-year-old son whom I love very much.
Yeah.
Even though about a week before going off to college, he totaled my car.
Yeah.
And I'm driving his old car, which is a 97 Primer Bondo Neon fuzzy dice, you know, hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
You know, this, by the way, this is a test of your love for your son.
And you have passed that test.
And what car of yours did he total?
A 96 Toyota Camry.
My son did the same thing to me. I just want you to know. And I love him just as much as I would have loved him anyway.
Right, even though he wanted to kill him that day. So you've taken over this Neon by eminent domain or whatever?
That's it, yeah. I've inherited the Neon. It has many problems, but one that I'm concerned about that I need your help with is it has a big horizontal crack in the windshield, about two-thirds of the way across. So my son, being a good and helpful son, says, Mom, if you glue a coin at the end of the crack in the windshield, it won't grow any bigger. And I said, that's crazy. That can't be true.
And he said, everybody knows this.
Yeah. He said Arturo's uncle told him so, and Arturo's uncle wouldn't lie to him.
Oh, really?
So my question is that science or superstition?
So where does this crack end now? It starts obviously on one side of the window?
Yeah, it starts on the driver's side.
Yeah.
At the where the windshield starts, and it ends about two-thirds of the way across, I'd say.
Well, if you called... I don't know if this thing about the gluing a coin, and I wouldn't even know what coin. Does it have to be U.S. currency? I mean, can it be a Canadian coin? How big a coin does it have to be?
Yeah, and does it depend on the car?
Well, if you glue it to the outside of the window, it's going to interfere with the windshield wipers.
Right.
No, you're going to glue it on the inside.
You're going to glue it on the inside.
And I think it's probably going to work.
Of course it works. Arturo's uncle said it was going to work. How could it not work?
Well, if I do that, do I have to hang the fuzzy dice back up, too?
Well, you probably do. Yeah, no, this is kind of a signal that you've given up. By the way,
how about replacing the windshield?
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Should I just call my son and tell him he doesn't need to bother eating?
No, no, no. I think you should call your you have insurance on this car, right?
Yeah.
Kentucky might have lots of states have a law that requires insurers to replace your windshield if it's cracked.
You call the insurance company and you say, I got a cracked windshield, and they'll tell you exactly what to do, and you'll get it fixed for nothing.
Yeah, they'll send you a roll of quarters. You can glue them all along the crack.
That Gorilla Glue and quarters, right?
No, no, I think you're going to get it replaced for free. As a matter of fact, any time you have a cracked windshield, it impairs your vision.
Right.
And that's dangerous, and you certainly wouldn't want to be responsible on a lousy, rainy night for having an accident because you couldn't see through this cracked windshield.
That's true.
So you need to replace it in the interest of public safety, in the interest of Molly's safety.
Yeah.
And also because I'm pretty sure you're probably covered by insurance.
But before you have that done, glue the coin to the inside of the windshield and let us know if it works.
And drive over some big potholes, and you really got to really test it out. We want to know if it works.
I'll do it.
All right, keep us posted.
Okay, thanks a lot.
See you.
Good luck.
Oh boy. 888 car talk. The coin thing's got to work.
The coin thing, I think, works. I don't know why.
Well, it's kind of...
But windshields are very strange. They do all kinds of
weird
stuff.
Well, it might cause the crack to change direction.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wouldn't that be interesting, yeah.
Right, so it
might be a lot worse.
It's kind of like a beaver building a dam on a stream. I mean, it doesn't necessarily stop the stream. It might just change its direction.
So I hope Molly's going to do
this. Well, the crack may come straight out from the windshield and impale the passenger.
We got to call her back in a week.
Oh, yeah. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. We're doing great. Who's this?
This is Mac Cashman from Bath, New Hampshire.
Matt?
Mac.
Mac.
Oh, Mac. Mac.
From Bath?
From Bath, New Hampshire.
Got you. What's going up, Mac?
Not much. I have a 2007 Dodge Dakota. This truck just seems to want to go. I'll be doing the normal flow of traffic, and I'll perceive something up ahead where I'll need to stop, and I let off the gas, hoping that the truck will eventually start to slow down. But it doesn't. It just keeps rolling at either 40, 50, 30, whatever it is I'm doing.
Yeah.
To where eventually I have to hit the brakes, and I feel like I'm using the brakes a lot more. Now, in my Ranger that I got rid of and traded for this, it was a stick shift, and I was able to use the gears to slow it down. My question is, am I going to destroy the engine or the transmission in this 2007 that's automatic if I'd use this shifter to drop it down one and the transmission slow the car down a little bit, just ever so slightly instead of hitting the brakes?
So how long do you think, if you were driving on a flat road at 40 miles an hour,
and you took your foot off the gas pedal,
how many states do you think you could travel through before the thing came to a stop?
New Hampshire's not that big, so I bet you I could get across a good portion of it.
Yeah, well, it sure sounds like your accelerator is sticking.
Well, when the cruise control's on, and it'll just keep giving it gas, I can feel like there's not much gas being given, but the car will definitely just continue to coast. And it'll start to slow down, but it'll go for a while. And eventually, I hit the brake. You know, I always have to hit the brakes to stop the car. But yeah.
Well, most of us do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to figure out if there's anything wrong. Here's one thing we can try to do. When it's doing this, shift it into neutral. And I'm curious to see, does this thing have a tachometer?
Yes.
Oh, great. If it has a tachometer, I'm curious to see what the engine idle speed is when you've shifted into neutral. For example, when you've at 40 miles an hour, if you take your foot off the gas and shift into neutral, if the RPM goes down to 700 or 800, which is the normal idle speed, then in fact the throttle isn't sticking.
If it stays way up there.
Then you've got a problem that needs to be addressed, and it may be a computer problem or something like that that requires you taking it into the dealer. But I'm going to assume that this car has just very low rolling resistance.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which is great.
Yes. I save like better gas mileage.
Well, exactly. So this is a two-wheel drive Dakota?
It's four-wheel drive.
It's four-wheel drive.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And every once in a while, I'll use that shifter to downshift it. Is that horrible? Am I going to destroy the transmission?
No, it isn't. It may be that the transmission's not downshifting itself. So, in fact, if it isn't behaving the way you think it should, there may be something wrong with the computer. It may need to be reprogrammed.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So you should, but you should be happy if you have a good rolling resistance. But it may be that it isn't downshifting when it's supposed to.
I'm getting used to it. It was a transition from my old truck, but I'm doing okay with just perceiving that I might have to hit the brakes or just pull this out of D into two for a little while.
But
and
you,
let
but
it
you,
there.
But you feel, I get the sense that you feel it's like a runaway train.
Yeah, well, I'm a police officer, and I don't like when the truck just keeps going when I change into a speed zone and I let off the gas and it doesn't downshift into the next speed zone, and you know, I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to take it in because there may be something wrong with the transmission's computer.
Okay.
They may have to reprogram it. And if you tell them what's going on, there may be a bulletin on this. I haven't seen it before, but it's possible that there's some kind of a bulletin on the thing. This is going to be, we'll have to reprogram it. It'll be fine after that.
Well, I'll do that.
But it's not going to hurt anything by downshifting it.
Okay, good.
And you can also use the brakes. That's not going to hurt anything either.
Yeah.
Good luck, Mac. Let us know what you find out.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take a short break.
Hey, by the way, I got a message here from Vivian, who's the president of NPR.
What is it? It looks like one of those pink while you were out slips.
Yeah, it says, while you were out, stay out.
Nice. Well, when we come back, what have you got for us?
More dispatches from Brownie Nation. We got a bunch of mail about the proper brownie to mechanic ratio.
That's right, brownies and lots more of your car questions coming up right after the break, so please stay tuned.
Parking brakes useless and the shift won't shift right. Doors won't close and there's rust in the headlight. The seats are ripped up, you can't see.
And even though the Postmaster General temporarily okays the mailing of unwrapped fish whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about, of course, cars, car repair, and confectionery etiquette.
A couple of weeks ago, someone asked us about the proper brownie to mechanic ratio, and you said what?
I think several hundred to one was about what I said.
No. I think you said about 3 to 1, and you said if you bring brownies, bring them for the whole shop.
That's my position precisely.
Well, a guy named Mike Zeichen disagrees.
Oh, yeah?
He says the correct ratio is N plus 1, where N equals 2. And those 2 brownies go only to the mechanic who actually fixed your car. He says this creates competition, whereby every mechanic in the shop will vie to fix your car and fix it correctly.
Oh, dream on, Mike. And what about that other brownie? It was N plus 1. Where's the plus 1 go?
Well, he says the third brownie is for the winning mechanic to share with a buddy of his choice at the garage. This encourages the other guys in the shop to be helpful, so they might be awarded the buddy brownie.
Oh, discouraging them from sabotaging the job by pouring a Lumiseal into the gas tank. I can see it now.
Yeah, I think this guy must be a third grade teacher. He's never worked in a repair shop.
No, first of all, the buddy brownie idea would never work. Mechanics just don't share brownies or any baked goods for that matter. So one guy would eat all 3 if they ever got to him.
Right. I mean, we see a guy with brownies, we tackle him.
Of course. I wanted to mention, by the way, that the Puzzler is coming back very soon.
Yeah, but remember, in the meantime, you can find the Puzzler every week on our website, cartalk.com.
These are previously owned Puzzlers.
I would say previously solved.
Okay, sure.
But rest assured, they have not been improved in any way.
No, not to worry. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Dan from San Lorenzo, California.
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Hey, my problem has to deal with a 2000 Honda CR-V. The clutch, Lombard Hill in San Francisco, and my lovely wife, Amy.
Really? So yes. You got Lombard Street?
So I'm driving up the hill, and my wife says, hey, I smell the clutch burning. I said, don't worry, I'll start using the parking brake, et cetera. Shortly after that, blue smoke starts coming up. So I go to pull off to the left, okay, to get off out of traffic. So when I did that, I disengaged the clutch, pressed down the gas, and it didn't seem like the car got any grip or pull. And the engine went like that. And it just crawled off to the left. I parked it. The smoke clears about 20 minutes later. So my wife drives home. And the clutch worked, although you could smell it burnt. So I told her, I said, don't worry, it's kind of like meatloaf, in which you put it in the oven, if you burn it, you take the meatloaf out. 2 days later, you use the oven again.
Still
stinks. And it smells burnt.
Yeah.
Really, the meat, you use the old meatloaf trick, eh?
that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I thought that would work. So 2 weeks later, we have our 50-year wedding anniversary. We're headed up to Northern California to go fly fishing. And she said, I don't think we should take the CRV. And I said, well,
A wise woman. What about the meatloaf, you said, right?
Well, we ended up taking my father-in-law's Toyota Sienna van.
Okay.
Which is a lot like taking your accordion deer hunting. And so now the CRV, that's only got 66,000 miles on it, is just used for grocery shopping. So the question is, I mean, you burn the clutch, but you smell it every now and again when you drive. I mean, can we ever use the car other than grocery shopping again?
Not really.
Well, not if you're going to go up hills.
Oh,
yes. It's not going to make it.
So you need to relocate to, like, Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't live in San Francisco and have a slipping clutch, which is exactly what you had. By the way, that smoke that you saw was the clutch burning up.
Right.
And it must have been accompanied by a rather unpleasant smell.
Smell.
Yeah, the people walking by noticed that.
Yeah,
were they all holding their noses? And
they actually were.
They were.
They were.
Well, that's a giveaway.
So every time you try to impose that, what were you doing driving up Lombard Street in the first place?
Well, that's how you have to drive up it. You cross the street, and then you go down it.
No, you don't have to drive up Lombard Street.
Well, we found out. The neighbors that we parked in front of their house, they said, hey, you know, there's a much easier way. We've seen a lot of cars get ruined on this hill. And I said, well, that's
yours is one of them. Yeah, no, it may be that day you applied the coup de grace to that clutch.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you perhaps did it by not using the clutch properly. You can burn a clutch out in short order if you slip the clutch or don't fully engage it on a hill like that. Because what you're doing is you're giving it way too much gas and letting the clutch out too slowly or not completely. And if the clutch has got a tendency to slip at all.
And it's slipping like crazy.
It's slipping like crazy. So your clutch may have been it may have been on the way out anyway.
Uh-huh.
So if your wife, Amy, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is she blaming you for burning out the clutch?
Yeah.
She's right.
Is is this a car that you primarily drive?
No, it's her car.
It's her car.
Well, no wonder.
I would say that she has therefore done the lion's share of the damage.
See, I like that.
You do, eh?
Yeah.
Well, she drives it more than you do.
All right, so let's get right down to the basics here. Of the 60,000 miles that are on this thing, how many miles have you driven?
Maybe 150 miles.
Oh, 150
miles. Oh, hundreds.
Miles. And have those 150 miles been practice runs on Lombard Street?
No. Oh, no.
No. And
then she has done it.
No, wait a minute now. We're not going to let Dan off the hook that easily. Are you a new standard shift driver, or have you driven extensively standard shift cars?
We both have a standard.
You both
but
have
my other car, my car has got a really tricky clutch.
What car?
That just hurt my... with that.
You may have, yeah. You may have hurt yourself with that. what's your car?
My car is a Saab 1994 900.
Oh, they do have tricky clutches. And I think you tend to learn bad habits driving Saabs. Every Saab I've ever driven, I've never been happy with the clutch. I love their transmissions, but I hate their clutches. And you learn the bad habit you learn is that you end up giving it more gas than you should and letting the clutch out more slowly.
That's right, yep.
And if you don't do that, the car will stall and or buck and fight you and make your ride unpleasant. So you have learned that bad habit from your Saab, and you have carried that over to poor Amy's CRV, and I think at 150 miles, you may have done more damage to that thing than she did in 59,850 miles. Just a guess.
You know, I was hoping for something else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but now if she wants to use the car for more than grocery shopping, you're going to have to put a clutch in it. And by the way, maybe you should consider, after you put the clutch in, trading in this car and getting an automatic transmission. I don't think I'd want to own a manual shift car in San Francisco.
Yeah, especially, and we were, you know what we were doing? We were showing some people around, and we said, hey, guys, watch this. We're going to go up
this hill. Hey, guys, watch this. Hey, guys, watch. Are you kidding me? That's an invitation to disaster.
Yeah, evidently.
Yeah, it's like the first guy who water skied on one ski. Hey, guys, watch this. Yeah, you know that can lead to no good.
Yeah,
well, you know, it was her idea to go up. I was ready to go home. I was pretty tired. We just had the Golden Gate Bridge, and she was like, well, let's go show them Lombard. And I said, okay, hey, guys,
what you should have done is taken them for a beautiful bucolic walk through the Muir Woods.
Oh.
Yeah, that beat Lombard Street any day. I mean, you can't.
I
took
agree.
My brother there once for 5 hours. He wanted to hang himself by the end of the day.
No, I wanted to hang you.
Oh, that too. Anyway, good luck, Dan.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
All right, see you. Bye-bye. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
He's right.
He's in, married 5 years and, oh, never mind.
Never mind.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nicole calling from Maui, Hawaii.
Hi, Nicole. How are
Nicole?
I'm good. How are you?
We're all right. Maui, huh?
Yep, Maui.
You know, whenever people call from Hawaii, my brother gets this glazed, more than glazed look in his eyes. Oh, Hawaii. Anyway, I'm sure the weather is beautiful there, but it is equally beautiful here. So what's up, Nicole?
Hey, well, I have a 1995 Cabrio. Uh-huh. VW Cabrio.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have a problem with it every time it rains really heavily.
Yeah, it leaks?
No, it doesn't leak.
It doesn't go.
No, it's a great car. It's a great car, other than I'll be driving along and all of a sudden it will start to do a little stuttering.
Oh, really?
And it only does it in a heavy downpour. So I don't know if it's something electrical or if maybe it's something in the exhaust, but I'll be driving along and it'll stutter. It's never died on me, but it does it periodically. And it'll do it all the way from here to the other side of the island.
And then if you continue to drive it, even though it's rainy, does it eventually clear up or does it persist the entire time you're driving it?
If it's downpouring, it'll persist the entire time. If it clears up, it's great.
So how often does it rain in Maui?
Lately, it's been raining a lot.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
See, I told you we did a good thing not going there this year.
We're actually heading, we're out of our rainy season. But we're going to be heading back into it, you know, and it's been a little bit heavier than usual.
Well, I don't think there's any question that you have bad spark plug wires or a bad coil. And the way you're going to figure this out is the next time it's raining and running badly, you are going to get out of the car.
In my raincoat.
You have to have a raincoat and an umbrella.
Okay.
You're going to open the hood, and preferably you're going to do this at night. And when you open the hood with the engine running,
You're going to look,
and you're going to see a veritable light show. You're going to see sparks jumping all over the place. And make note of where those sparks are flying, because that will tell you what's wrong. If you see sparks right near the engine where the spark plugs are, there are four wires that connect to these four spark plugs.
Right.
If you see the sparks jumping there, it's probably just spark plug wires that you need.
Okay.
If instead you see... There's one single wire that runs from something called the coil, which is up by the firewall. If you see sparks jumping around at the coil, you could easily need a new coil.
Okay.
Because little tiny cracks in what's called the coil tower will also become conductive paths for electricity when it's damp out. And then, of course, when it dries up, everything's fine.
Right, right.
But the moisture is causing the problem because the electricity is using the moisture as a conductive path, and any cracks or breaches in the insulation cause the problem. And any time you don't get full spark to the spark plugs, the engine stumbles and misses and jumps and stutters and hesitates, and that's what you're getting.
Well, that's good to know. Now I can pass it on to a mechanic.
You can pass. So if you didn't want to get out in your raincoat and...
He'll be impressed with my knowledge.
Yeah, you could actually do this yourself, Nicole.
Can I? Okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go to Volkswagen of Maui.
Well, there is no Volkswagen of Maui anymore. That's part of the problem.
So, well, you might be able to go to, are there any parts stores in Maui? Is there a Napa?
Yeah, there's all Pep Boys and all those kind of places.
Oh, go to Pep Boys.
Those are the guys you want.
And buy a set of spark plug wires for your 95 Cabrio.
Okay.
And then when you go to replace them, make sure you just do them one at a time. Take off one old one, put on one new one. Because if you take them all off, you'll spend a month trying to figure out where they go.
Okay. All
so
right.
Do that, and then you'll be all set. And I bet you that's going to fix it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy the weather.
All right. Thank you. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. You know what time it is now?
Time to slash the prices on our Capri-length coveralls.
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they took our advice.
And if so, which stage of grief they're currently in. So who's our lucky player this week?
Players.
Oh.
It's Robin and Brad from American Canyon, California. Do you remember Robin and Brad?
I do. I mean, this was like just a couple of weeks ago we talked to
them. That's right. Robin called because Brad, her park ranger husband, wouldn't fix his BMW's oil leak, and she wanted some help convincing him.
As a park ranger, he should be ashamed he's parking this thing and dripping oil every place. He's ruining the planet single-handedly. And he's got to shape up, and for the want of a 20-cent gasket.
I think that might work.
It might work. If it doesn't, have him call us. We'll talk to him.
Did you talk to him? He's here.
Do we have to?
Okay, you guys. It's your turn.
Yeah, he's laughing. Uh-huh.
It's your turn. They want to talk to you.
Oh. Hello?
Brad, you are a walking, talking environmental disaster. You're leaving oil every place you go, man. You're going to have to turn in your ranger suit. So this weekend's exactly the time to do this.
Sounds good.
I know your fishing buddies are there, but they'll help you.
Yeah, and I got to say, I've been listening to your show for years, and I love it. It's always a lot of fun. You guys have a wonderful laugh, great sense of humor, and it's a great show.
Yeah. Fix the leak.
Forget about the show.
So, aside from berating him, did we give Brad any real car advice?
We told him it was something simple like the gasket around the oil plug, and it would be cheap and easy to fix.
Probably a cracked block. Brad and Robin, are you there?
I am.
Yeah.
All right, before you give us the update, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
We have not.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the cubic yard of super-absorbent kitty litter we sent you.
No.
So, Robin, did we help you to motivate Brad?
Actually, you shamed him into it.
Ah.
So the answer is yes.
Well, more importantly, Brad, was it the oil drain plug gasket that was the culprit?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Well, one right, one wrong.
What was it?
Well, it actually was the O-ring, a faulty O-ring on the oil filter.
On the oil filter.
Oh.
Had you previously done the oil change yourself?
Well, I didn't. No, I hadn't. I'd always taken it in, but I ended up replacing it myself. I realized, the oil ring's not there. I'll just put one in.
Uh-huh.
I put it in, and I fired up the engine. I was so proud of myself, waiting for my wife in the driveway to come in, and we pulled away, and I looked on the ground, and I had about a half a gallon of oil on the driveway. So I put the O-ring in the wrong place. I took it in, and they put it in properly, and it's working great now.
So no leaks whatsoever.
No leak whatsoever. Yeah, it's doing great.
Brad, your ranger suit is safe.
I'm no longer a walking, talking environmental disaster.
Yeah.
I wear my uniform proudly.
Well, we were afraid we were going to have to turn you into the proper authorities, and we would have had we known who they were.
Right.
But I'm glad that you saw the error of your ways.
Great. Well, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
See you later.
Right,
bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right. It's time for us to take a short break.
Hey, I have a question for you.
What?
If I go on a break, how would I know?
That's a darn good question.
Isn't it? I mean, it feels the same to me. You're sitting here, I'm sitting here, we're joking around. What makes a break different from what we're doing right now?
Well, there are no listeners on the phone, so for that 1 minute, no one else knows that we're morons.
I think we should take a break.
Well, when we come back, what are we going to discuss?
Stupidity.
Really?
Why not?
All right, we'll be back with my brother's area of expertise and more of your car questions in just a minute.
My car just died and I don't know what to say. I panicked when it happened.
right word spoken. I'm gonna sell that thing for parts, even though you know it breaks my heart. It's time to trade in all these broken wheels.
And even though cats instinctively jump in their litter boxes and then try to cover something up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and stupidity 101. What's this about?
Well, Occidental College is offering a course next semester in, of all things, stupidity.
And they didn't ask you to teach it?
No, but I'm in the textbook.
Of course.
Actually, it has one of those crazy deconstructionist course descriptions that makes it impossible to understand what the course is actually about.
Well, especially if you're what?
Stupid. Right.
So have you actually seen the syllabus?
No.
Well, week one is probably banging your head on an open kitchen cabinet. Week two is brushing your teeth with preparation. And week three, what have you done recently?
Put the wrong end of the cigar in my mouth.
There you go. See, we could teach this course.
Absolutely.
Hey, by the way, if anyone out there is missing the puzzler, we have a new used puzzler for you every week on the website, cartalk.com. And if you have a question about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Gavin in Elkton, Maryland.
Hey, Gavin. What's going on?
I've got a 94 Ford Ranger, and lately I'll get out in the morning, I'll go to start it, all the idiot lights come on and everything like normal, and then it just makes a loud click.
Oh.
And everything goes completely dead.
Yeah.
No, radio, no dome light, nothing.
So you go back in the house and call in sick that day, right?
Well, one day, usually that's about what I do, but I got out one day and started looking for a loose connection or something.
Very good.
Very good.
I got mad and I hit the battery.
Ah.
And I heard the radio come on.
Ah. What did you hit it with? Your fist?
Yeah. I punched it.
You punched the battery.
So I got back in and I was able to start the truck.
Ah.
So since then, I've been keeping a small sledgehammer in the bed of the truck. And when it does this, I get out and I tap on the battery a few times until I hear the radio come on, and I get in and try it. Now, sometimes I'll have to go through this like 15, 20 times before it finally starts. But once it does, it might not do it for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
You know, you are perfectly suited to be a physical therapist. You're a patient guy. You would do well with people who are having trouble, you know, getting ambulatory. And you could be you're a very patient kind of assistant. And if it didn't work out, you could always belt them.
I was going to say, as long as they don't mind getting tapped on with hammers.
So if you were to guess, Gavin, where would you think the problem is?
Well, I don't know if the problem is the battery itself or if there's something that I'm shaking when I do this that's getting it.
Yeah, I think you're shaking. I think that you have a problem between the battery post and the lug that fits on the battery. There's a wire that attaches to each of the terminals of the battery. And I'm guessing that one or both of those are all corroded.
Yeah, and you never tried disconnecting all this stuff to see what it looks like underneath.
Well, no, the connections look fine. There's no corrosion on them.
Yeah, they look
and
fine.
They look like everything's metal to metal.
But you're looking at it from the outside, and the corrosion is on the inside.
I suppose that's
right. The corrosion is between the post and the terminal. Okay,
haven't taken any of that apart.
No, I haven't.
Ah.
Here's what you do. Next time, instead of striking the battery, pretty soon the battery is going to hit back. So before it does that, be very gentle. Grab one of the wires connected to the battery, okay, one of those cables, and just move it very slightly back and forth.
Okay.
Okay, left, right, left, right. And when you do that, the radio is going to come on. And that will tell you that connection at the battery is the one that's all corroded. And I bet you if you were to pull that off, you see that there's all kind of gray crud between the post of the battery and the terminal end. And that's in fact...
And when you clean all that off, it's going to start every day.
Okay.
Unless the other one is just as bad.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest that maybe you take both off and clean them. And in fact, if you're going to do that, So here's what you want to do. You want to go to someplace like Sears and buy yourself a battery terminal cleaner. It's a little tool. Do you have any tools?
Oh, yeah, I've got tools.
Okay. Well, do you have one of these in your toolbox?
I don't think so.
You're going to.
You're going to.
Okay.
If you buy this little tool, it will allow you to clean the terminal end. That is the part that the wire is attached to. Okay, because there's a little brush that allows you to go in there and clean that. And then another little brush that allows you to clean the post of the battery. So you're going to clean both things, and you're going to take the negative terminal off the battery first. Then you're going to take the positive off. You're going to clean everything. You're going to put the positive terminal back on and tighten it. And then you're going to put the negative on and tighten it. And your troubles will be over.
All right, then.
And, of course, when you go to take the terminals off, you're going to realize you can't take them off. You'll have to go back to Sears the next time you can get the truck started and buy yourself a battery terminal remover. Okay? This is going to cost you about $600. But you'll have learned a lot,
Gavin.
It'll
be worth every penny.
Good luck, man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
Good luck.
It's like growing your own tomatoes. I calculated once that each tomato that I grew cost me
$11.
Yeah, well, between the fertilizer and I had to buy a timer.
Yeah.
Because of the days I was away, you know, I want to make sure the plants get watered, because if they don't get watered, they're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, then I had to build a fence around them so the rabbits wouldn't eat them. And it just kept escalating. And it came out, it was $11 and something a tomato. They were great tomatoes. And the irony is that at that time of year when you grow your own tomatoes, so is everyone else growing his own. And I had friends that give me tomatoes. And the markets, you know, the open air markets, they're giving them away.
Away?
$11. They give you the whole truck. Oh, God. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Megan. I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Hi,
Megan.
Megan, what's going on?
Well, I have a Honda CR-V. It's a 2003. And when I turn on the air conditioner, only when I turn on the air conditioner and turn left, the car makes this funny sound. And I thought for the longest time it was my water bottle tipping over and making this fizzy sound. But my water bottle's not in the car anymore. And when I turn left, it still does it. And the sound is like...
We're ready to have you make the sound.
Okay.
How long do you have to be driving? Does it come on your first left-hand turn of the day, or does it have to be after many minutes of driving that you get it?
Oh, it can be like right when I pull out of the driveway and take my first left turn, but it has to be with the air conditioner on.
Yeah.
Which in Portland, in a month from now, it won't be a problem at all.
Okay, then call us back in a couple of weeks, and we'll see what we can do.
That'll be fine.
So it happens, sound.
Yes.
And it happens only on a left-hand turn.
Yes.
And only in your 03 CR-V. Have you noticed this in any other vehicle?
No, other vehicles.
It can happen right at the beginning of your trip.
If the air conditioner is on.
So if you're taking an extended left-hand turn, like, for example, an entrance ramp on a highway or some such thing, does it do it the whole time you have the wheel turned?
Yes.
It does.
If I go really slow around a corner, it doesn't make the sound.
Ah.
Will it even do it if you're not making a left-hand turn per se, but you're going on you're on the highway and the road turns to the left? Will it do it then? And is it more likely to do it at higher speeds?
It's higher speeds, and it has to be a fairly big curve to the left.
Fairly sharp curve, you mean?
Yes.
A fairly sharp curve to the left. So you've been paying attention to this for how long now, since the air conditioning season began?
Since it got warm here, yes.
Since it got warm. So that was like in June.
Maybe a month. No, a month ago.
A month ago. So it's been doing it for 1 month or so.
Yes.
I mean, I cannot for the life of me think of what it is that would cause the thing to make a noise when you turn left with the air conditioner. And my original feeling was that it's somehow... one of the blend doors. Does the noise sound like it's coming from inside the car?
Yes.
It does.
Ah. Well, it sounds like underneath the glove box.
Right. And I think what's happening is when the air conditioner is on, there's a door that has to close, and that door shuts off the flow of air from what's called the heater core into the passenger compartment and allows the cold air from the evaporator to enter the passenger compartment. And I think what's happening is that door must be weak. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that may be operated electrically on this car.
And it's trying to close.
It's trying to stay closed. And centrifugal force is somehow...
Yeah. Whoa.
Come on, help me out
here.
It's
getting deep.
Wait, no.
You went too deep.
No. Trust me. Centrifugal force.
That was too much.
No, it's working against you. And I'm going to suggest that if you were to take a hard turn, a hard, sharp turn, it would be at its worst.
Yes.
So I think that's what's wrong is that your blend door for the AC is malfunctioning because the mechanism is weak. And if I would further,
I
would go even farther to say that if you were to drive around in a circle that consisted of driving to the left, your air conditioner would stop working.
Oh.
Because I think it would open the door. At least the effect of the air conditioner would be negated because it would be opening the door and letting some of the warm air in. So, just a guess.
So only go in a circle on the right.
Yeah, if you're going to go in circles, make sure you turn to the right. I think you'll be all right. But I think that's what it is. And you can verify this by taking it to your repair shop and seeing if they can look at the operation of the blend door.
Blend door. Great.
Blend. B-L-E-N-D.
Great.
Like pitch blend.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Good luck, Megan.
Thank you so much.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Salutations. This is Noah from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Noah.
And here's my situation. Now, I'm generally not a paranoid passenger. However, when I drive in the car with my boyfriend, I get this feeling of terrible dread, like in the pit of my stomach, every time he comes to a stop, whether it be fast or slow. And I didn't understand it for weeks and weeks until I finally realized that he is a two-footed driver. So right foot on the accelerator, left foot on the brake. And so my initial response is, of course, this is terrible for your car. This is a horrible thing to do.
Well, it isn't bad for the car, per se. I mean, I think your problem with it is that he gets onto the brake too fast.
Yeah, I think the issue is that he's still
going forward while he's still accelerating, while he's trying to slow down.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so he doesn't mind it at all.
No, I mean he actually does it because his legs are so long. He claims that it kind of hurts for him to slide his feet back and forth.
Does he have big feet?
He does, actually. He has big feet, long legs. However, you know, for me, that's not a good enough reason to put me in a panic every time he comes to a red light. And, you know, he's started to have a few car problems in his relatively new car. So, you know, I've been trying to keep my mouth shut, but I've been relatively curious.
Oh, so you would like us to attribute those car problems that he's having with his new car to this method of driving?
I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind. You wouldn't be upset. So,
what kinds of problems did he have?
Well, he has a 2007 Ford Escape, and he's starting to have brake problems. He's just shy of 40,000 miles, so I'm not sure if that's really a big deal. But he's also having some weird transmission issues that I really notice when I drive the car, where it has a really rough time choosing between second and third gear, and not really like you're going uphill and it kind of, you know, downshifts back down. It just seems to not get out of second gear.
Well, I'm not so sure the second problem is his fault, but the first problem is wearing your brakes out. Because I don't care how good you are at it, eventually laziness overtakes you. And that left foot that's sitting poised, presumably, at the ready above that brake pedal, eventually starts to rest on it a little bit. And, of course, when that happens, you, in fact, apply the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
So everyone behind you thinks you're stopping when, in fact, you're not. In fact, in his case, he may be trying to accelerate, and he may, in fact, be confusing the transmission computer. He may be confusing it, and maybe that's why the thing is shifting peculiarly, because he's stopping and going and stopping and going. So it could be all of this could be attributed to the way he drives.
Oh, I'm so excited to tell him.
I know. But
you, now you've got to get it to him and convince him.
And you're unlikely to do that, I think.
Yeah,
I have two potential solutions.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that his next car is a stick shift car.
Yeah,
because with three pedals, he'd have a hard time doing this. So a stick shift car then requires you to use the right foot on the brake. So if you think you might be able to convince him that his next car should be stick shift, I think it would work out great. If there's no chance of that happening, then you have to puke in his car. Because if you do, even if you have to fake it, Noah, that's going to cure him forever.
Yes, that sounds like a fantastic plan.
So if you don't look, it's making me, you're making me sick to my stomach, and I'm going to puke if you don't stop. Then you have to carry it out.
All right, well, then I will try my best to get him in the stick shift because it's tough for me to puke on command.
Well, you can take that stuff called Ipecac, which you give to kids if they overdosed on vitamin pills or something, and it'll make you...
That'll help you right out,
yeah,
so to speak.
Well, you do what you think is best.
Thank you very much.
By the way, is he a cheapskate? Because if you can convince him that he's causing premature wear on his brakes...
I will be doing my best after this conversation.
You're going to pull out all the stops. All right, let us know what happens.
Thanks so much,
see
guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Siskiyou, Caribou, Kangaroo, Vindaloo, Canned Ragu, Beef Au Jus, Butter Roux, Rabbit Stew, Mountain Dew, Charleston Chew, and Tamiflu Lunch on Cue, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our French folk music historian is John T. Alouetta. Our pitching coach is Owen Two. Our prosecuting attorney is Melissa Forethought. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pimply freshman in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 937, thumb through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, if you're looking for a new car, why pester people in parking lots for their opinions?
Yeah, I mean, my brother got arrested for the second time doing that last week.
Instead, check out the Car Talk survey. 10,000 responses by car owners who tell you what they think of their cars.
Yeah, with no danger of getting whacked to the head with a grocery bag.
Browse the Car Talk survey's results or rate your own car over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Terry Gross rubs her temples and says, "Serenity now," whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.